I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and this is Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. And this week, we have a show about the industry of wellness, which means we need to start with the big picture. There is a lot of money in the wellness industry, partly because by using that very word, wellness, we mean a lot of things.
So when we talk about wellness or think about it, we're not just talking about our physical health, but many other dimensions too. So things like social and community wellness, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial.
That's Katherine Johnston. She's Senior Research Fellow at the Global Wellness Institute. And according to Johnston's research, the global wellness economy was worth $3.7 trillion, yes, with a T, dollars in 2015.
Yes, it's huge and growing fast, and it's been growing faster than global GDP over those years. Right now, if you compare it to health expenditures, which are about $7.5 to $8 trillion globally, wellness is now about half the size of that.
Can you give me a breakdown of sort of where people globally spend their money on wellness? You know, how much goes to exercise? How much goes to spiritual practices, et cetera?
The largest segment is actually beauty and personal care and anti-aging. That's about $1 trillion. And then we have another, say, $1 trillion, so about another third that is split between fitness, exercise, mind-body, those types of activities, and then also eating and nutrition and weight loss. The next biggest segments then are what we call preventive and personalized health and even public health. That's about $500 billion. And then we have another industry about the same size, about $560 billion, that's wellness tourism. So that's incorporating wellness into how we travel. So as you can see, it's a big range of things included.
Yeah.
And we only expect it to get bigger.
Why do you expect it to get bigger?
I mean, you look at the big trends that are going on globally. I mean, the rise of, you know, the middle class around the world and people who have disposable income to spend on things like taking care of themselves. You know, of course, we're also recognizing that our medical system is completely broken. It's not working. We have a huge chronic disease crisis around the world. We have aging populations, environmental problems. You know, we're waking up to those things. And so we see people really trying to take better care of themselves in response.
I'm curious, as an economist, how you think about what seems to be a trend of monetizing goods that we often have had in the past for free, whether it is silence or a walk in the woods.
Well, you know, there's a business around everything, right? So, and again, you know, I tend to look at this as, you know, there are always going to be consumer fads and things that people want to do. And in the terms of wellness, you know, this is a good fad. This is important. You know, we need to change the way we're living our lives. There will always be businesses and industries to capitalize on that in good and bad ways. So, you know, some of the things that we may be spending money on in interest of our wellness may not be doing us much good. Perhaps we need to take what money we're spending now and spend it in a better way.
Is there a risk that wellness becomes a premium product, you know, only for the wealthy?
I would say it's going in the opposite direction.
Really?
You know, if you look back 10 or 20 years ago, when people thought about wellness, it was more of a premium thing. You know, maybe it was for the wealthy, slightly middle-aged or older people who could afford to go treat themselves at a spa or, you know, take a retreat vacation. That stuff is increasingly accessible to the middle class in the United States and even to, you know, people at the lower income levels. You know, there are a lot of new business models that we see growing in this industry that are trying to do that, because, you know, as a business, if you're only appealing to a small segment of the population, your business growth is limited.
Yeah.
And so I think the growth is really going to come from that shift and making it accessible to all people.
What are the trends that you're watching over, say, the next 5 years?
I think we're going to see huge growth in sort of fitness practices and wellness practices and offerings that draw upon the past, upon historic traditions that may come from different places around the world. Maybe they come from the arts or from the natural world. You know, and we see that happening already, like the growth of interest in yoga or meditation. Another area of growth like that I would see is bringing back some of the nature-based and water-based traditions that have existed all around the world for centuries, and again, bringing those into the modern era. So many countries all over the world outside of the United States have these traditions of like sauna, bathing, hammam, onsen in Japan. I mean, it's just so many different versions of this. And then one other area that I would point to, you know, real estate and bringing wellness into our daily life and our daily expenditures. And so we would see continued growth, for example, in food and eating, and that shifting toward more healthy options, and then shift in our homes, our infrastructure, our communities. And that's just a huge industry. So huge potential for growth there too.
And we've been talking a lot about the U.S., but how do we compare to other countries around the world in terms of how we approach the kind of economy of wellness?
A lot of the growth and the spending in the wellness industry comes from the United States in terms of the last 10 to 20 years. A lot of the trends, sort of led here and then filter out to other parts of the world. But at the same time, most other places in the world have a lot stronger wellness traditions and history than we do.
Yeah, so, it feels like we're kind of, appropriating stuff they were already doing.
We are. And what's interesting is, in a lot of countries, they have these traditions going back centuries. And sometimes they're actually, now seen as being old fashioned. That's something that your grandmother does. So perhaps, you're talking about going to the hammam in the Middle East or, going to the bathhouses in Japan or in China. There are a lot of places that have had those forever, but they're not really used by the younger generations. And so the interesting trend that we see happening is sometimes the U.S. kind of appropriates some of those traditions, modernizes them, turns them into a newer sort of consumer industry that would be appealing to millennials and younger people. And then that stuff gets readopted throughout the rest of the world. So there's kind of a give and take there.
Catherine Johnston is a senior research fellow at the Global Wellness Institute. Thanks for talking with me.
Thanks so much.